you got to have a package. Barnes on his ass too much.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is here, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Lee DeCamper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, we're 15 seconds into this, and you're not coughing, you're not sneezing. We're happy for your return to health.
I'm the road to recovery. I was feeling very good until I hit the island course at Innisbrook yesterday. 18 holes, Lee, 4 hours. And did I crack 100? Not even close. Not even close, Lee.
I'm told that's living large where you played.
It's living large. We had a coupon.
That's what the Sage does.
Reduced price.
Oh, I see.
I don't pay full rate, though.
You blew the entire premise that you were living large. Yeah, had a coupon. So you're not living large.
Not living that large. Anyway, feeling much better, Steve. Thanks.
Very good to hear, Ira. Bill Curry Ford Memorial Day Spectacular is on.
What do you got?
We got over $14,000 off MSRP.
Say that again?
Over $14,000 off manufacturer's suggested retail price on select new 2026 F-150s. How about that?
That's Lee's vehicle.
That's Lee's vehicle that he rides all over town. So if you want a truck, this is the weekend to do it. And there are many other great lease deals and offers at Bill Curry Ford. Of course, they're the giant. Not only are they the biggest service department in Florida, they've got a huge showroom. They've even got their Bill Curry Ford Pro Elite Service Center, which handles all commercial vehicles. You know, as Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, has told us, there's, you know, thousands of companies out there with three vehicles, four vehicles. Now they have elite service for you, special for you at Bill Curry Ford. They've got everything, Ira.
They're the Morgan & Morgan, Lee, of car dealerships. They're the biggest.
I was going to say, is that a compliment?
I think it's a compliment.
Well, size-wise, which doesn't really matter in the car business, Ira, because you got to have family-owned service, which they are, 65 years. The Curry family, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and the Ira Kaufman discount is there for you. Just ask Sean Sullivan, the GM. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. You can find him on the Best in Class podcast. Got to catch up on your recent listening if you missed the last one. Sean's up to 9 wins for
the
Bucks.
He's bullish. All of a sudden, he's bullish on the Bucks.
9 wins for the Bucks now. He's in our 9
wins club.
He's
matching me, yeah.
Of course, that's all subject to change. You know, long time until we get to August. But ask Sean for the Bill Curry Ford Ira Kaufman discount, and you'll get it. Don't worry. Drive Curry. We'll talk more about them a little later, Sage. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Talk about them later, too. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Anything you need when you have a disaster at your property, mold, water damage, call immediately, get a free evaluation. Mention Ira, you'll get $500 back if you actually need paid service from them. Florida's Elite Restoration, check out their 5-star Google reviews across the board. Not just 2 or 3 5 stars, all of them. All right, Sage, Buccaneers, we are, less than 3 months from the first preseason game. We are about 10 weeks from training camp.
They've been rolling out all the assistant coaches, Steve. They've been rolling them out, and the message, it's a uniform message. We love our draft. We love our rookies. Wait till people get a look at these guys. And, Lee, I'm going to say it right now. It's late May, and I'm going to say it. They might be putting too much pressure on Reuben Bain. I think Reuben Bain's going to be good. But, Lee, going back to something you've been saying for years, it's rare when a rookie defensive lineman makes a splash in his first year as a pro.
It used to be that way until very recently, until maybe the last 3 years or so.
I think
you're right.
Almost to the point, if Bain doesn't get double-digit sacks, people are going to be disappointed.
I totally agree with you.
I think they're putting a little too much pressure on him.
People are acting like this guy's a savior. He may be. I'm not anti-Bain. I'm just anti the scheme he's going to be playing in.
We're glad they took him when he was available.
I'm not there yet because I don't know if he'll be, you and I have gone over this.
Right.
I'm scared that he's going to be tainted and he'll never recover.
You think too much hype on Bain, Steve?
I got to give you a yes and no answer to that. I think there is too much hype. However, look who he's taking over for. Quitter Hassan Reddick. That's who he's taking over
Quitter.
For. So Bucks fans should expect a tremendous improvement. And as well as production improvements. So from that standpoint, no, I don't think the hype is too big. This guy should make everybody forget Hassan Reddick after about a week of practice. And
he's not going to be another Shoyinka. That's no. not going to happen.
Oh, good no. Lord.
So from where
the, sorry, Lee. Sorry.
Considering where the considering where the Bucks are coming from, yeah, I don't think the hype is too much. Now, Warren Sapp, your good friend, he jumped on the Rondé Barber show. And, of course, he was asked about Bane, and he didn't hold back. One thing I thought was funny, because Sapp has new perspective now, because he coached college football the last couple of years at Colorado. So he's got a different mindset now that he's been hands-on with college guys. And he was talking about how the college guys don't love football as much as they did decades ago. You got to figure it out. Does a guy really love it versus does he just like it a lot?
Isn't that the biggest question that Jason Light approaches any draft with? Does the guy love football?
Allegedly.
I think that's a big, big priority. And he's missed out on a few of those. He's fired some blanks in that regard in the past, and I think he's learned from his mistakes.
Well, hopefully that's not the case with Zion McCollum. Maybe that's in the present, too. We'll find out this
year. I'm thinking Devin White. I don't think he loved football.
Oh, he loved football, but he loved himself even
loved
more.
Himself even more.
So, you know, and some of that's the money. You know, you're making $200,000 playing college football this year. Do you love football more than the money? Whatever. Sapp said Bane is that love guy. No question. He's got the motor. He's got his cool. He's got the drive. Sapp says he's known him since he's a little kid.
Yeah.
That he knows
the UM connection.
He knows the family, knows his uncle who played ball. But Sapp was willing to compare Bane to himself.
Damn.
But he said he's got to prove all these great things I'm saying about him. He's got to go prove it. And he did basically throw cold water. Hey, you got to learn how to play in the National Football League. Sapp's point of focus there was, while he thinks Bane will be just fine, there's a lot of holding in the NFL that you don't get in college football. You got to figure that out.
Interesting.
So,
Lee, some of the things you get away with in college, you just don't at the pro level, especially pass rushers. You got to have arrows in your quiver. You got to have a repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Speed isn't going to work by itself, Mr. Shoyinka, Mr. Braswell. It's not.
I don't even know what.
Power by itself probably, you know, limits you a little bit. You got to have a package. And I think Bane might have it. He might have it.
You brought up Braswell. I'm not trying to kick Braswell, but I don't see what trait he has.
He's small. He's not strong.
I haven't seen anything. I mean, I guess he's a good blocking dummy. I don't know.
I think Bowles is soured on Braswell. I don't think
How could you not be?
I don't think he's
Nobody's said the word Braswell in months. Lee, you were at $1 with the defensive coaches. Did anybody mention Braswell?
No.
Lightning didn't mention him at the combine. Bowles didn't talk about him. He's the hidden man.
But what was it 2 years? Well, not 2 years ago, but a year ago at the combine. What was it? Light was saying?
Yeah, it was about 18 months ago, 16 months ago. Light said Braswell was going to shock fans last season.
I don't think he meant that shock.
I'm not sure.
I wonder if Bowles, in his leisure time, is he considering two things? One, switching his D-line, his alignment maybe to a standard 4-3.
No.
Can he do that? Will he do that?
No, yes, no.
And two, would he consider switching Barton and Bredesen? I'm still on that.
It's not happening.
I'm still on that.
We get off it. We asked. The answer is no.
Barton's on his ass too much, Lee. He's on his ass.
Well, I'm going to give, you know, I'm not saying Barton was Larry Little last year, but, you know, he had trash on either side of him. And I will never forget this. I can't remember what game it was, but I remember this play. Two guys came at Barton because, again, he had trash on either side of him. Barton blocked each guy with one forearm. Like in the 1970s, you didn't block with your hands. You blocked with your shoulders.
Conrad Doble over there?
Yeah, you blocked with your forearms and your shoulder. And that's what he was doing. Only had one forearm for each guy, and he was blocking him. He was blocking him. There was no guard to be seen.
Sometimes Barton's on his butt more than Joel Embiid. That's not pretty.
Isn't that the Ian Beckles school of blocking? If you're on your ass, you're no good.
I think Lee described your Golden Corral tactics.
Yeah.
Steve, I thought Bredesen was impressive under center. I thought he got the job done.
He was, but the switch is not happening. No matter how much you want to scream about it, it's not happening. Barton was a first-round pick. They don't think he sucks.
Can I hear the word cross-trained, Lee? I hear it all the time about the Bucks. I can't hear it in this regard.
Now, to Barton's credit, he didn't miss a snap. He's proven durable. He's still young. I think he's like 23. I'll double-check that. I think they're all in with Barton, and he'll be just fine. You know, another year of development.
I'm thinking maybe he could be an elite guard. Maybe he could be an elite guard.
Well, FYI, I'm not trying to irritate you, but Billy Sharth, it sure sounds like he's Bredesen's replacement when Bredesen's contract comes up. So, hey, to tell you,
they haven't soured on Bredesen, though, Lee. They gave him a contract.
They gave him a contract, but guess who they compare him to? Bredesen. That to me is like, okay, we're going to save money and we're going to plug
him
in.
They could have let Bredesen hit free agency, Steve. They wouldn't do it.
I agree with you. I'm not ragging on Bredesen. I'm just looking dollars and cents. You always got to look to how you're going to save money to pay the big guys.
Okay.
And Bredesen, you know, they're already comparing him to Bredesen. So that tells me when Bredesen's contract is up, bye-bye.
Well, they had Elijah Klein, too, and that didn't work.
Well, then Klein was never compared to Cody Mauch, for example.
Or Billy Stroud. Barton turns 24 in June. There's no changes coming there, Ira. But I will say this. I think what's fair, when you look at the Bucs offensive line, and they love the line, they're going to ride behind the line.
It was very good in 2024.
It's a great line. Everybody's 28 or less, all the starters. But Tristan Wirfs has not missed a durability. Luke Goedeke has missed, I think, 11 games over the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He's not missed a durability. Cody Mauch has not missed a durability. Graham Barton has been. Bredesen missed the last six games last year. You know, to think that these guys are just going to get more durable as they get older and they're all coming back and they're all sticking around, I don't care if it's Mauch or Bredesen or Goedeke, you start getting brittle, you start losing your job. So who knows what's next for Billy Stroud and what they're going to do.
You think they've upgraded their depth, Lee,
absolutely.
Up front?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Between School and Schlarth, yeah. Schlarth, I mean. Absolutely. That depth was trash.
Who's that other guard they brought back?
Now, this Chimuka or whatever, Chimuka.
Chukwuemura?
Two questions to answer. One.
The guy they brought back.
Dangerous Dan Feeney.
Dan Feeney. Yeah, Dan Feeney.
And it's Chukwuemura. Chukwuemura.
Chewbacca.
That's why they call him Chooks.
Oh, I would go Chewbacca.
Did Feeney show enough to bring him back?
No, of course not.
No.
But
he's cheap.
He's a body. You
look all over the NFL, there's a lack of guards all over the NFL. Now, you don't have teams steaming with backup guards. You just have a bunch of garbage out there and some bad starters. So, all right, that's that. So let's get to the defensive coaches, Ira, because they were talking, and there's a lot to pick apart, little things that seem strange. So I'll start with inside linebackers coach Mike Caldwell.
Ooh.
Who has an excellent reputation. Remember, he left the Bucs. Doug Peterson took him as his defensive coordinator when he took the Jaguars job. Guy's been around. He's back with the Bucs. And he was with the Bucs during Super Bowl years. So one thing he said that really stuck out at me is Josiah Trotter. He was talking about him, and he said that essentially said this guy's gonna come in and he's so physical and he's this and he's that he's going to change the culture and make us a more physical team out on the front seven, and that he's going to bring that spark. I'll get the exact quote if you want it. And I'm thinking, why isn't he saying he's going to fit in with Cansey
and
Anzalone, who's a rip your head off veteran? Why isn't he saying he's going to fit in? Why is he saying that he's going to evoke change and change how it is? Something's off there. Like, it's like the coaches know that they're so damn soft that they really even need a rookie inside linebacker to change things. I don't know.
That's a little telling, Lee, to put that on Trotter's plate. Now, look, he does play a physical style, as did his father with the Eagles. I covered those Eagles teams. Trotter was a big hitter, no question about it. But, Lee, wasn't Anzalone a guy that was supposed to change the culture with his approach? Now you're talking about the rookie. And by the way, Lee, no matter what they say, and, you know, they've heard all the questions about Trotter's coverage skills, and they don't like it. They don't like that kind of chatter, Buck coaches.
No, they do not. They're very sensitive about that.
So just the fact that Caldwell or whoever, you know, or Bowles are saying that the guy's a fine cover guy, I want to see it, Lee. I'm not won over by that.
I absolutely agree with you. I was fortunate. I was talking to some Bucks personnel people. They're very thin-skinned about that because they say he's got all the physical attributes to be able to pass. And they always come back. If someone mentions, well, Trotter didn't cover well, I'm like, well, they didn't ask him to cover. How are you going to do it well if you never asked to do it? Fair point. But they're very sensitive about it. They think it's unfair. Unfair criticism.
Didn't we hear, Steve, a year ago when the coaches were flying it to the podium? we got big hopes for Savassier Dennis. He's sideline-to-sideline cover. Inside line. It didn't happen.
Excellent
blitz. It didn't happen.
Excellent blitzer. Good in coverage. Speed.
Next thing you know, they're trying to replace him.
The only thing they were, ironically, the only.
I don't think they needed to try too hard.
The only thing they were right about with Dennis was that he was healthy. And that was his big question mark at this table.
Yeah.
Was can he actually, you know, play seven games? And they were right. He was healthy. He just couldn't play.
He did not develop at all last year. He just did not develop.
KJ Britt didn't develop.
Is that coaching, Lee? Could it be?
Could it be?
I don't want to be called a hater, but Steve's on to something. He's not wrong. He's touching upon it. I'm not a hater. I'm not going there, Ira.
Well, Steve, we'll have to see in a couple of years.
Yeah,
do Britt and Dennis go somewhere else and flourish? We'll see.
Well, Dennis is still here, and we're going to talk about that.
That's not the only linebacker. Well, I'm not a hater.
And being fair, you know, Britt's a fifth-round pick. You know, there's a lot to look at. Devin White, were his development issues his head? The guy was number two in the NFL in tackles last year. Number two, he has no job right now. And he's still young.
Very, very strange development.
Well, am I allowed to say what I heard through the grapevine from an NFL type about Devin White?
I believe you are.
Well, I don't want to get sued here.
Keep him nameless. Keep him nameless.
The word I heard to describe Devin White was narcissist.
All right, so this was the exact quote, just for clarity. Mike Caldwell said of Josiah Trotter, he was asked, what are you looking for out of the second round pick to bring to the defense? We're hoping that it's a mindset for us to get back to being a physical front. Now, why do you need a rookie to change the mindset when Vita Vea is part of that physical front?
Now you got Bane.
Kalijah Kancey.
Bane's
a rookie. Diaby, if you listen to the Bucks, Larry Foote, edge rusher coach, outside linebacker coach, said he's arguably the best. He's in the elite class of run defenders off the edge. So what do you need the rookie to come in and change the mindset of the front? Very interesting stuff there.
Obviously, Lee, looking at the films and trying to self-scout from Bowles on down to all his defensive coaches, Light also, we got no physicality. Got no physicality in the front seven on defense.
I think it was painfully clear to even slubs like us.
Soft.
Soft.
Soft. By the way, Steve, you mentioned Diaby.
I got to say, I love this podcast.
The interjection, by the way.
I'm sitting, you know, I could touch you if I really stretched out.
Yes.
And Iris is screaming at me, by the way.
By the way.
I love it.
Wait, Diaby. Is he what he is, which is a pretty good player? Or does he have this ceiling that he hasn't reached, and is Bane going to help him reach it in his development? I'm starting to think Bane's an eight sack guy. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but that's not going to, you know, that's not even Pro Bowl level. And even though the Pro Bowl's a joke,
he's a pretty decent player, Steve. He is a good run defender.
Are you talking Yaya or Bane?
Yaya. He is a pretty good run defender.
Well, number one, I think he's handcuffed in the defense he plays. Number two, until proven otherwise, his ceiling is 7.5 sacks, which he had as a rookie.
They don't drop him at the coverage, do they, Lee?
Sure they do. A lot of famous moments with that, too. Of course they
Buffalo.
Do. Playoff game against Washington. He got real close. You know, thanks. Anyway, we're going to find Diaby's the perfect
cover. That was him on the Eckler play? Yeah. You think he's got room to grow, Steve?
Well, I think he's the perfect contract year guy. Let him prove it now. This is his shot to prove if he's an elite guy on the rise or he's just who he is, which is okay.
Which is okay.
And very good for a third-round pick. But if they give him a contract extension now, I'm going to think Jason Light's had lost his mind. I'm sorry. I'm going to think.
Yeah.
Let him play the fourth year. Now, Lee, Mike Caldwell, what else did he
say? Well, I'm not going to kill the guy for the quote that
kill
I
it.
Wrote a story. Well, I got to deal with these people. I don't want to crap all over them. And when I need them, then they'll tell me, you know, give me the finger.
Which has happened before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily the finger, but
maybe a boot up the ass.
Vocally, they give me the finger.
All right.
You know, Caldwell said about Servosky Dennis, he made some wow plays last year. And right away, first I almost fell off my chair. Second off, like, yeah, wow, he really sucked.
Did anybody ask him a follow-up with
no,
that?
No, because why beat a dead horse? Why embarrass the guy? But this gets to my point. And this is not to denigrate Mike Caldwell or any of the coaches. This is a nameless, just in general. These guys are not public speakers. They're football coaches. So when they're put on a podium, which these guys rarely do outside of Bowles, and Bowles do not speak, they're really out of their element. And so when they're asked questions, they can't go up there and blast anybody. So they're stumbling and fumbling and bumbling, trying to come up with something good to say without embarrassing themselves. And they're out of their element. So Caldwell, you know, when Sivrowski was Dennis Rupp, that was not his full quote. He made wild plays. That was not his full quote. But he had all this kind of word salad that made no sense whatsoever. So, In a way, I feel bad for these guys because they're put in a no-win situation. They're not comfortable at it. They're not used to it. They didn't go to school for public speaking. They're football coaches. And they're prone to say stuff that every fan would drive up the road about.
And Steve, that's why you can't read too much into what these assistant coaches.
But this is fascinating. This is fascinating. fascinating topic. We could talk about this for 20 minutes. I would argue that they are well-schooled in public speaking because they are football coaches, and they're used to getting in front of a group.
That's more of a teacher than a public speaker. My idea of a public speaker, you're speaking to a group of, not aliens, but unknown people. You know, like you get on a plane, you fly somewhere, and you talk to some corporate thing. That's my idea of public speaking. You're campaigning for office.
I mean, my idea of it is that, just like a classroom teacher, they're up in front of a group every single day. They take questions. Sometimes they don't know what's going to happen.
They always represent the organizations.
Correct.
They always.
Right. So, but my point is that the football coach, who's known for, leading men and being vocal, you hope, they should be comfortable in that environment because they're only getting questions about the things that they live and breathe every single day. They're not getting asked about policies or whatever. They're the stuff that they study every single day.
But they can't be honest.
Right. They can't be completely honest, but it's kind of easy. But they're not completely honest to their team every single day in front of that group. They're not, and they're also not living in the past with the team. Okay, I ripped a guy. I'm not going back to that every week. So I feel like it should be easy for them to say, hey, we're moving forward with all the cliches we've heard before. Servacio, we're moving forward. He learned a ton off last year, and there were some wow plays that he was good at, and we're focusing on those, and he knows what he's got to learn. I feel like it should be easy for them, and I don't feel sorry for him because
they're getting paid well.
You had 3 months' notice on an email that says you're going to answer 10 questions from the media today. Don't be unprepared.
That's a good point, the last one.
You can't expect assistant coaches to acknowledge that a player has this weakness. They're not going to do it. In other words, they're not going to say, we're going to work with Josiah Trotter and get him up to speed in his coverage on the NFL level. They're not going to say something like that.
Well, is part of that they're killing their own career? Like, this guy sucks. Well, why does he suck? You're the coach. Well, let's make him better.
Head coaches don't call out players publicly. Gruden never did it.
No?
Gruden never did it specifically to players. Bowles is
so
very
the days of the Parcells.
Bowles is very circumspect about doing it.
Arians would here and there.
Arians would. And that's why fans love them.
He's authentic.
A fun thing on this whole subject, and I think because a lot of fans might listen to us now and say, like, well, the players don't care. They're not listening to these news conferences. Well, Danny Smith, when he spoke, the special teams coach.
Now he's good.
One thing he mentioned to the media was that, hey, I don't like to talk about players because the guy I don't mention is in my office the next morning saying, what about me, coach? Now, he wasn't BSing. I'm sure that's real, that the players listen to their position coach, and if they don't get praised,
They're
wondering about their status. So, yeah, it is very real and important what these guys say publicly. And that's why coaches sometimes will send messages through these news conferences. Like Lee said a million times, they'll prop a guy up so he hears it and he feels more confident. Not that it's real, necessarily.
You know, Steve, about 3 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I would say about 3 years ago, after the draft, didn't Light, go out of his way to say, we had special teams very much in our mind in this draft. It's about 3 years ago, and they brought in a couple of guys, and special teams coverage still wasn't very good. Last year they bottomed out, no question about it.
If I remember right, and I can't remember his name, but I remember his hair, the dude with the hair, he was a seventh-round pick. They got him specifically for special teams, specifically. And a year later, they cut him. And he goes to Indianapolis. I think he's still in the league.
Let me clarify. Grant Stewart. Last pick in the draft, 2021 draft, last pick in the draft. And the Bucs traded him to the Colts. They actually got back a sixth-round pick. Because I remember texting Jason Light saying, you got a sixth-rounder out of a seventh-rounder. And they didn't, for whatever reason, the Bucs didn't want to hold on to him. And Grant Stewart just signed a 2-year $4.5 million deal with the Rams to be their special teams ace. And I was just listening to Sean McVay on the Barstool podcast, talking him up, saying this guy's the difference maker on special teams.
This year, Lee, I have more confidence that they have addressed this problem. Yeah. I think this killer brew is a killer.
Is that right?
On coverage.
Coming off an ACL at 33.
And Gainwell, if they decide to use him, I think he's pretty darn good on coverage. I guess they got him bringing punts back now.
Well, they haven't practiced in punts, Danny Smith.
God knows. They need an improvement in punt return. If a guy breaks off an 18-yard punt return for the Bucs, I'm falling off my seat, and my cherished jubilee is falling into your lap over there, Lee, in the press box. Can I have a freaking punt return of more than 8 yards? I'm sorry.
You were asking him for some money Danny Smith quotes. One of them, he had several, but one of them was he was asked about Gainwell. Is Gainwell going to play special teams? Because I think Steve and I and a lot of other people, he's going to be getting a lot of snaps at running back. Danny Smith said, he will fight me to get on the special teams.
Yeah, he'll be in my office. Yeah.
He'll fight me.
I think they have made some inroads in addressing. Of course, McLaughlin Lee, who wasn't great last year, he wasn't great. He was good, and of course, the beginning of the year he struggled, and then he overcame it. But I got confidence McLaughlin will get back to where he is. He's one of the best long range kickers in the league.
I read Danny Smith.
The punter to me is average. I think he's average.
He's got to worry about the blocks.
Yeah. But their coverage was just awful.
You led me into something. Danny Smith said he loves the cover. Loves it.
Bowles didn't know what to do about the kickoffs last year. He said, give him the ball at the 35. We can't cover anything.
What was interesting about some of the Danny Smith quotes was he was talking about, you know, covering kicks. He goes, I love it. And he said, you know, he was asked, do you kick the ball out of the end zone? He goes, not unless I have to. And he said, have to. He was like, a guy has an excellent returner. It's a one-score game, late in the game.
That's a situational.
Yes, that's what he's doing. But he said, last year, the team that started with the best average after a kickoff was the 35. He said, so kicking the ball out of bounds, you're giving a team the best field position in the league because they started at 35. He goes, I'm not doing that. And he had a big... not rant, but a big explanation about field possession. And I caught this right away. He's going to butt heads with Bowles. Bowles loves kicking long field goals. Danny Smith does not. He goes, you miss that field goal, you're setting the other team up to score.
Well, McLaughlin's outstanding at it. He's outstanding at it. Not every team's got a McLaughlin.
But it didn't seem like Danny Smith wanted to risk that.
Well, Bowles is going to make the call,
exactly.
Not Danny Smith.
Here's a great quote. Danny Smith said, assistant coaches make suggestions. Head coaches make decisions. That's a big difference.
I think, though, the mindset of the special teams coach is let us go out there and win it. Like, I can't imagine a special team coach ever saying, no, we don't want to kick a field goal.
Yeah, give them the,
like, we'll do this.
Or
you know?
Give them the ball at the 35 on a kickoff. Yeah, give it to him.
Smith said he wants to win the game.
Yeah. Got to smack you around a tiny little bit.
Oh.
Cameron Johnson, ranked 8th in the league in net punt return yards last year, 11.2, the best since the first year that Adam Humphries was doing it about 10 years ago.
When's the last time they brought one to the house? A kickoff
forever.
Or a punt?
Wasn't it long time. Run, Michael,
run? Don't tell me it was Spurlock.
Yeah, I'm thinking Spurlock. Jesus. I'm thinking.
I'm not sure.
All right.
Not sure.
Now, you can't count on those things because
they're accidents.
If a team has won, you know, it's a good year. I understand it. But it can win your ball game.
Absolutely.
It can win your ball game.
But I'm not sure Cameron Johnson makes the roster. So that create, you know, depending on where they want to be a little deeper, and they're obviously deep at receiver, I'm not sure. Tez Johnson came into the NFL. He's a great returner. They gave him a little shot in preseason. He bobbled the ball or something, and he disappeared, which we've seen that before. I'm not sure Cameron Johnson is worthy of the roster. So we'll see if Gainwell can do it. That'll be interesting.
I don't think Tucker's bad on kickoff returns. I don't think he's bad.
He was bad last year. They were both terrible.
The year before, he wasn't bad.
The year before, he was better. Last year, he and Johnson were terrible. I mean, just terrible. So they'll fix that. But I don't know. You know, Danny Smith is a lot like the edge rusher situation. Is he the greatest special teams guy in the league? No. But should the improvement be massive? Yeah.
Well, they can't go anywhere but up. You think about it.
Yeah.
They were rotten.
Last year, they were butt up.
Oh, my God.
Easy, Kaufman. Easy. Florida's Elite Restoration, 24/7, call them. They'll get out to your home, free inspection of your mold situation, the water damage you find. You got water coming through the floor. Whatever it is, get them out there. They'll bring the technology. They'll bring the expertise. And they'll bring a family-owned business that has worked decades on the insurance side of the business. So they know all the tricks and the angles, and they know how to fight for the money that you deserve for your home.
And
to
rainy season's around the corner, Steve. Right.
It seems like it's here already. It started early. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But, it's here, and that's when things only get worse if you have a problem like that. And mold doesn't get better in the summer, that's for sure, if you have that situation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mention Ira when you first call, and if you need a paid service from them, you'll get $500 back. Don't forget that Memorial Day sale at Bill Curry Ford, but they got stuff going every day. Bill Curry Ford, Bean.com, but those deals will end very soon. So
give me another quote from an assistant coach over there, Steve. What do we got?
Quote from an assistant coach that stood out to me.
Steve scours these quotes.
I don't scour them.
Anything that raises his antenna.
Well, that's what you should do.
I listen to the coach. I make some notes. I go back and listen again, and here we are, you know. So the edge rush stuff. Now, so everybody loves Larry Foote. Candid guy. Good guy, smart guy.
Not intimidated by a podium, Lee. Not intimidated.
Not at all. Played the game a lot of years. Fun guy. And Foote will talk to you wherever you are. He's just a kind guy. Mm-hmm. So he was asked about Yaya and the ceiling you talked about. And he starts talking about, well, you know, we want him to mimic the really great players. We got him watching a lot of film, you know, of the greats and some of the elite traits. And I'm just thinking to myself, I understand that that's coaching, watching film with the guy. But yeah. I don't hear them saying, I'm an elite coach. I've been studying the greats. Todd Bowles has been around this a long time. We know how to coach him up. I hear like they're looking outside the organization for help versus really feeling confident that they can coach up this guy within the structure of what they're doing.
You're right in Lee's wheelhouse on this.
And it's just a steady kind of theme that the attitude of these guys is, you know, I don't know if they really know that what the hell they're doing coaching up edge rushers, and Jason Taylor's not here, and we don't have, I'm not hearing from the Bucks, the new D-line coach, Marcus West. He's going to be integrating, working with the edge rushers. He did great work with Joey Bosa last year and this guy or whatever. I don't like the visual of them sitting around watching Bruce Smith from a bunch of years ago and pictures of Jason Pierre-Paul and trying to figure it out. He was around JPP. He was around Shaq Barrett. Yeah, for stretches. Now they don't. He was around Hassan Reddick. Now they don't have any guy who can necessarily help him, you know, on the roster. I don't know. I hope he gets it.
Lee, in terms of developing young defensive players,
edge rushers.
I'm going to McCollum and other places. They don't get a good grade, Lee, in terms of development. Now, in some cases, I just don't think they had the right guy in terms of Shoyinka.
Can't see you've developed.
Braswell.
Oh, Lord.
Reddick had no motivation. It's hard for me to pin that on the defensive coaches, but I'm looking at a McCollum. Logan Hall, I'm not sure he really developed. We'll see what he does in Houston, but like you said, he's surrounded by better talent in Houston. Diaby doesn't seem, you know, seems to have hit a wall, maybe. A good wall, but a wall. Lee, I guess I'm sounding like you a little bit in terms of development with the coaching staff.
Well, my big thing has been and always will be the edge rush. There is none. And this defense just is not conducive for that. It's almost an accident if someone gets to it. I don't know if I told you this, Ira, but I read this came up right around the draft. Todd Bowles has had, and this surprised me, since he took over the Jets, two players with double-digit sacks. Wilkerson with the Jets and Shaq Barrett. So I don't think this defense is...
That's
is,
8 years of coaching.
Yeah, this. Now, what Steve brought up about Yaya, what Larry Foote said, the first thing I thought of was, you know, when Larry Foote was saying, well, you know, you got to mimic the greats, you know. The first thing I thought of was, isn't that why you went to the Max Crosby camp a couple of years ago? Because he was going to learn from Sapp, and he was going to learn from Max Crosby. He's going to learn from this guy and that guy. Wasn't that the purpose? I don't know.
Speaking of Sapp, if you can't get Jason Taylor, can you bring Sapp in for a little, a little coaching seminar?
He's done it before, 3-4 years ago, you know, when they still had the tent over the patio. He was out there. He practicing with the players. He had cleats on.
You want Sapp or you want Simeon Rice? Who do you want for Bane?
I'll tell you exactly who
Sapp.
I want.
Sapp.
I'll tell you who I want. I'll ask it to you in this way. Who would you rather have on the freaking roster right now? Chris Braswell, who's on the roster, or Von Miller?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Are you still on that Von Miller bandwagon?
Why would I not want Von Miller instead of Chris Braswell? He can coach. He can play. Let's go.
You can say that about the squirrel over there.
What's going on? He's a free agent.
And he can show Bane a few things.
Obviously.
And Diaby.
And he's a Hall of Famer. And
he is a Hall of Famer.
And he's a good guy. What's going on?
So you're saying in spot duty, the guy comes up with 8 sacks. Spot duty. Situational pass rusher.
He played well last year.
Isn't Joey Bosa still out there? Or did he get signed?
I think he's still out there.
You think Miller would ask for too much money?
I don't. What is too much money? What are we trying to accomplish here? Do we want to develop our first round pick?
Speaking of money.
Do we want to turn our 7-sack guy into a monster? Do we want to win a Super Bowl? Miller had 9 sacks last year in part-time duty. He played the whole year. But he's got a fountain of knowledge.
9 sacks would have led the Bucks.
Yep.
Would have led the Bucs.
So I don't know if he wants to be in Tampa, but I want to hear the Bucs. I want to hear somebody putting out to Schefter. The Bucs want to hand him a contract. Why invite him in? He'll show up. He loves publicity because he's got this chicken company.
He's out there right now.
He produces organic chicken that he sells.
He's out there.
Yeah, he's out there. They're talking about the Bears adding him. I don't want him on the Bears. You want him to learn from the greats? Bring in Von Miller. There you go.
To summarize what Steve's saying, are you serious about winning?
I don't want Chris Braswell. I want Von Miller.
It's hard for me to argue against that. Von Miller's a Hall of Famer. He's got that lean. He gets so low to the ground. You know, and it's hard to teach that, but he's great about going around that edge, Lee, and getting around that tackle.
For the people that are listening to this and they're screaming, oh, he's over the hill. Like Steve said, situational pass rusher. You're not expecting him to get, 40 snaps a game.
You can't have too many pass rushers, Steve. You can't have too many.
I heard him talking at the Super Bowl. He said that he kind of wants to play and what he did last year, and I'm double checking it. Last year he played 37% of the snaps. He sees himself as a 25-30% guy.
Which is Braswell. He's a 25% NFL player.
Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't it be a travesty for him to take some of Braswell's snaps, Lee?
Oh,
wouldn't that
God.
Be a travesty?
Right up there for Pearl Harbor.
And he comes off the left side, too, which not a lot of great pass rushers do.
He's
you don't mind coming off the left side. By the way, let me throw this out there for Buck fans.
I got an important one before we head
out.
Let me
just throw this out there.
Please,
you'll back me up on this, Lee. Why do we think the Bucs will win the division, which I think they will? They got the best quarterback, Lee. They got the best quarterback. I'm sorry. Bryce Young, Michael Penix. Shook.
Thank you. All right.
Who I think is going to be decent. Mayfield's the best quarterback. Well, gives the Bucs a big leg up.
At this time last year, you could say the same thing. And what happened? That's really rattled me, those last nine games. That's really rattled me.
Whereas they pulled out of their funk the years before that, they couldn't do it last year.
Yeah, that
you're troubled by that,
Lee. That really rattled me last year. That's the main reason why. I'm hesitant to put a contract in front of Mayfield's face until I can see what happens
this year.
You're
taking it as far as to say they might have given up.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they did quit. I don't.
That's a strong word, Lee.
I know, but how else? What else? I mean, think about it. I know there were injuries, but they got healthier in December. They got Evans back. He showed he still had it. They had Godwin back. Gedeke came back. They had McMillan coming back. And I'm not saying those guys quit. But the defense sure quit.
I always go back to the Miami game. Steve, that was a travesty.
Oh, my God.
From start to finish, a travesty. Miami. a team playing for
absolute
nothing.
Absolute travesty.
A travesty.
Quinn Ewers.
Sat there watching that nonsense.
As Steve likes to say, the tanking Dolphins.
Unbelievable.
All right. I got two nuggets for you, and then we're gone. Any big weekend plans, Ira? I know we'll probably be back for this weekend.
No, we're all trying to get healthy and take it from there.
All right. That sounds good.
Day by day.
All right. So, Sage, again, BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping there now on the website. You don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to call anybody. BillCurryFord.com. Transparent pricing, and you'll see all the offers that are going on, lease deals, purchase deals. BillCurryFord.com. And remember our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Put them in your disaster plan. Be smart. Go to their website now, Florida'sElitereStoration.com, and then bookmark it, and you're ready to go. All right, two things, Ira. Number one, interesting, Sean McVay was talking about the draft, and he basically flat out said, if I thought Mekhi Lemon, Kenyon Sadiq, or Reuben Bain could have won us the Super Bowl this season, I would have drafted him. But I didn't think that picking either one of those guys at number 13 was going to give us the Super Bowl this season. So my mindset was, let's get the quarterback, who I think can help us. Maybe it's next season. Maybe it's two or three seasons versus these guys who are going to help us next season in a great way or two or three seasons. And that's why he said he took them. But he did mention Bain, which is rare.
Lee, I don't understand what he just said. I don't understand it.
Totally agree.
Your total focus is on 2026 and getting the Lombardi Trophy. This is not the Tennessee Titans. You're aiming high.
Yes.
You're aiming high. Otherwise, you don't make the McDuffie deal.
Yeah.
And give up a first round pick.
Legitimately.
So you don't think Bain could help you win one more game somehow,
or even
some way?
Or
Sadiq?
Yeah.
I don't get that. Now, having said that, Lee, I got a tremendous amount of respect for McVay. When they do these coaching surveys, a lot of times he comes out on top ahead of Andy Reid. And I think there's something to be said for that. But I really don't understand what he was trying to say there.
I totally agree. I think he completely blew up his argument. He's like, well, these guys couldn't help us this year, so we gave up, and we're getting a quarterback who might help us 3 years down the road. By the way, his general manager never had a problem getting a quarterback, has he? So that makes no sense to me.
I think he contradicted himself.
Exactly. He contradicted himself. I think you're trying to tell me Bane couldn't help you win one game? One game?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I get it.
Look, I know they got a good pass rush, Lee, but, you know, Bane could be a stud.
Put him a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
All right. Just wanted to run that past you. And the final one, Ira, a fun one and a sad one to write at the same time. So the Bucs, like most teams now, you used to have to wait for weeks for this, but most teams now, they pump out the schedule, and then immediately, almost, they're selling regular season game, individual games.
It's all over Buccaneers.com.
Yeah, all over it. Buy tickets, single game tickets available. So the Bucs, their premium games this year, the cheapest ticket, worst seat in the house in the corner, upper deck, last row, is $246.
And the nosebleeds?
And 20 cents.
I wish we could have video your reaction.
$246.20 plus tax. Fees included, thank you.
How many games does that cover?
I have it in front of me here that it is at least the Pittsburgh and the Steelers game. It may be one other,
Packers?
But I'm not sure.
Well, what, you said Pittsburgh and the Steelers.
I apologize. But Pittsburgh and the Packers game.
So, gee, I wonder why.
My question to you is twofold. Number one, Ed Glazer, and I quoted him back in 2013, nothing beats the live experience of Raymond James Stadium on Sundays, and our number one goal is to provide an affordable, enjoyable, and safe game day experience for the entire family. At that time, in 2013, upper deck tickets were $30 in that same spot. For adults, $15 for kids. They had kids' prices. That's a big jump. So my question to you is, Ira, what's going on here? Because the Bucs love to say how much they want a great game day experience for fans, yet they're discouraging fans from purchasing when they know that the Steelers fans and the Green Bay fans are the ones who are going to have no problem coughing up $246 to sit in the stadium. So, and of course, it costs more for those games to sit 50-yard line, fifth row, upper deck. So what's going on?
Seems exorbitant. They're going to have trouble filling that stadium unless they get off to a hot start, which they might with three home games out of the first four. Like Steve says, those games in particular, they might be outnumbered by the visiting fans. I mean, it could happen.
Really? I know it's happened before, but that's when the Bucs are horrible.
Suppose you got a family of four, now you don't have kids' prices.
That's grand.
You're laying out a grand with the parking and the food in this economy? That's rough, Steve. Rough.
Look, the Eagles game was more Eagles fans than Bucs fans last year, at least 50-50. And the video shows that's out there. So
I remember the Steelers, Ravens, they took over that stadium.
I think that price has to come down once they see that they're not selling enough tickets.
Well, I think Steve hit the nail on the head. They're not targeting Bucs fans.
Yeah, you're not targeting Bucs fans. So what are they doing?
So it's acceptable. It's acceptable.
Yeah, if you're going on vacation, let's say you're stuck in Des Peres, Wisconsin, and, hey, you're going to spend X hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars.
And the weather's going
to
be good.
Yeah, on vacation. You're going to Florida. What's a couple hundred? I mean, Disney's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's nothing. That's
so,
like,
so
okay.
With tax, Ira, forget the whole family of four. With tax, that seats $262 times two. It's all right. That's $525 plus parking. Let's say you get a good deal somewhere. You got to walk for a while. That's $550. And you buy a couple of drinks to stay hydrated. You're looking at $575 to sit in the worst seat in the house. For two people. That's outrageous.
And hey, you're getting the Ira Kaufman podcast for nothing, Lee.
There you go.
Well, what a bargain.
I don't know. I just hope we don't hear from the Glazers how family-focused they are. And
so that's like the worst seat in the house you're talking about, Steve.
It is the worst seat in the house. That's the last row, middle seat, upper deck, east side corner. Nah. Now, some people might like that, and if that's your seat, enjoy it. But that's not the best seat in the house.
Oh, the east side, too, the sun.
Yeah.
If this team gets off to a slow start, Lee, those stands are going to be taken over.
Oh,
I don't
care
who they play.
I vividly remember when the Steelers and Ravens came in, they absolutely took over that stadium. I mean,
the Denver game, Lee, when it was rainy the end and the Broncos are winning?
Yeah.
And,
the only people in the stands. They
all came down behind the Denver bench. Remember that, Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Aqib Talib was in Jameis's face. I have a picture of him. They poured it on.
They poured it on, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad for the fans who
So if that seat's 260, What's a seat at the 40-yard line?
Precisely. Precisely.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's one for you. You know, we're talking about horrible Bucks teams. Weren't the Bucks one of only two teams that Paxton Lynch beat? I mean, he was a horrible, horrible quarterback.
Well, you already mentioned Quinn Ewers. He ain't setting the world
well,
on fire.
Well, he's not. Lynch was brutal. Ewers still has a job.
Yeah.
But Lynch was brutal, and he mopped up the Bucks. Absolutely mopped them up. That's how bad the Bucks were. Just embarrassing, man.
All right, Sage. Look, something to think about. On the flip side, the cheapest seat for a couple of games is $81 for that same seat upstairs, which is obviously a lot more reasonable and a lot more comparable to what it was in 2013 with inflation and all that. Final thought, Iroh?
Yeah, final thought, Steve, worth mentioning. Raise the Flags is going to be on NFL Network, Steve, starting Monday, Memorial Day.
So 8 o'clock, NFL Network.
Two episodes,
8 o'clock and then 9 o'clock. And then all week long, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, Raise the Flags, all 10 episodes, two a night.
Lee, why should Buck fans want to see this documentary? Why?
How much time you got? If you are a remotely interested in the Bucks, you need to watch it. I could sit here for an hour and tell you why you should. The insight that you get, the new stories that were never told before, never known before. There was actually one element, I don't want to give it away, but there was one element where a coach was removed in part for insubordination. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame.
These are the stories behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, tons of them. All the Glazers speak. You rarely see a Glazer speak. They spoke more in this miniseries than I think the totality of their ownership group publicly.
And the footage is tremendous. You know, the films from the early days, tremendous.
The historical stuff, and I'll leave it at this. Ira Kaufman is a big star of the documentary. So,
I didn't notice that, Steve.